Welcome to the podcast of All Means All. In this episode, Aga Buckley, Mariam Mohammadi, Kerstin Merz-Atalik, and Georgia Dowling will talk about utopias. Where do we go from here? Inspiring ideas for schools of tomorrow.
So we are the Utopian Group, and we have written a chapter about utopia and what is utopia. So to start, we want to bring you on a journey, and we want to say to you that at the very beginning, we believe that there are as many utopias as there are people in the world. So we would like to start with an example of what we think is a wonderful utopia.
I'm a teacher and one of the executive director at Participatory School in Tehran, Iran. Participatory School is the initial whose founder, Dr. Nasser Yousefi, established about 18 years ago with a humanistic approach. His starting point was when he decided not to send his daughter to the classical education systems. Despite all the pressures and problems in the country, he created an institute for cooperative and alternative education. In our school, we believe that listening to another voice and preparing an environment for dialogue is very valuable, recognizing that each child is unique and education must begin where they are and also should be considered taking into account to the individual differences that they have. At school, what is more pleasant is that the direct link between education and life, and we also believe that when a person gets access to his interests, talents, abilities, self-esteem, empathy, peace, and whatever, the world around they will be appearing them. Also, concepts such as participation, commitment, choice, otherness, problem-solving, education in the extent of life are important. We define ourselves with this and try to include these elements in the classes and education. This is private school without ministry approval. We have about 240 students, 6 to 18 years in both gender, which is against the common education. In there, the definition of school is not a closed place with four walls that has a system of domination and control. Rather, the whole community is the school. We believe that it's necessary to teach freedom to students. Based on this way of founder was inspiring for me. His personality and the vision, the belief in human agency, maybe the commitment and responsibility attracted me to continue there. We also believe in the participations of parents in the education and process. Over the past 10 years at that school, I learned that personal dreams are important, can contribute to individual process of learning and education. So we help the children to make a wish or follow their ideas or dreams or whatever. And that the school, at the schools of family, provide the opportunity for all to follow their dreams as much as they could. I consider utopia as a process that includes values and visions rather than a sole destination. And this school represents that utopia not only for the founder, but for many others too. And now I just wanted and added something else about the school, that recently a new branch of our school, just called the Peace School, has been established in Toronto, Canada. And it's a member of several international organizations such as European Democratic Education Community and Alternative Education Resources Organization and Humanistic Kids. So I think that the utopias that maybe about 20 years ago that Nasser Yousefi was made it, and now I can that's established, and I can talk about it here about this school, and it's very you know, I'm very happy to talk about it here and right now next to you. Thank you.
It's your reality now.
Yes,
you made it a reality.
Yes.
What is utopia?
So when we started on this journey of utopia and what is utopia, we spent a long, long time working through this process, and we realized that there is never going to be one utopia because, as we said earlier, there is as many utopias as there are people in the world. But what we think is really, really important is that you take that time to create a shared vision. So sometimes people will say utopia is something that is out there in the sky, never going to be reached. Instead, what we would like to do is we would like to take you on a journey, on a pathway with us, where we're going to help you and help us, help everybody create their utopias. So every utopia is completely different because it is referring to whichever group there is. Every different group is going to have a completely different utopia. No three or four people, when they come together, are going to create the same thing. If somebody else was in our project, somebody else was in our chapter, it would be a different chapter because it would be somebody else's opinion. So it is the exact same for utopias. But one or two of the things that we think are really important are, it's a shared vision between learners, educators, and communities. And you have to see yourself in this shared vision. You have to allow others to be in this shared vision with you. And that's a really, really important part. And it takes reflection, it takes listening, and it takes the willingness to want to take other people's opinions and values on board.
Yeah, this reminds me, probably some of you have never been thinking about utopia. Probably at the beginning, we should start with the definition of utopia. What is utopia? And probably even the word itself, we have probably very different understandings of an utopia. So. Mm-hmm. What is an utopia?
I know. I think, like we said, a utopia is so completely different for everybody. So for me, it involves inclusion, values, agency, autonomy, the ability to be able to frame and reframe what our space is, taking into account all of the needs of all of the different people. And those needs are going to change. So by definition, utopia is going to change. As those people grow and they have new needs within their space.
I'm not sure if you remember, but we started thinking about, you know, the basic definitions of utopia. We were looking at Sir Thomas More, first book that described that this perfect paradise place where everyone is so happy, there is no trouble, there is no conflict, there is no, you know, and everyone is doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, and it's also perfect, perfect place, perfect to the point that it's impossible. And then we started thinking about why is it impossible?
Yeah.
And then we started talking about the human uniqueness. And hence we linked that to there are as many utopias as people in the world, because it is impossible to create society in which every single person will be doing exactly the same thing, even though I think we all agree that there is tendency in education that that we try to perhaps impose the frameworks, policies, and expect that there are certain things that will be happening in sort of context of education. Yet, I think what we're trying to do is slightly kind of go against a utopian sort of whole and a sort of unity, with the view that we create that unity, but we see that each and every person who is in there as a unique being with everything that they bring, and they're being seen, mm-hmm. they're being heard, they're being respected and valued, and it starts with the role of the educator and the teacher in that space. Mm. But it also means that that teacher needs to know that they are respected mm-hmm. and what they bring to the room is valuable and valued. And
I think that's so important. And we talked about the fact that we want to make this chapter, and I hope we did in this chapter, create this grounding. So instead of a utopia being something that you will never achieve, that is always going to be up there in the sky somewhere, instead we want to build this path, give you the building blocks to show you how you are going to, and how we tried to create a utopia. Because for us, writing this, we had to create our own utopia to be able to write a chapter that
we
were really happy with. It was a unique space and a unique thing that we had to create. And it is going to be the same for every educator, for all the learners. And then when a new learner joins a group, you've got that space where we now need to take their needs, their wants, their goals, what they want to achieve into that space as well.
It's I think it's also about that when you step into that classroom as a new teacher, you know what is your dream, you know why you're there, you hold on to that, you keep that utopia there, it's there with you. Utopia, dream. I'm not sure if this is how you want to think about it. But that's how we started, kind of.
It was
theorizing almost, right?
And for us, we wanted to not just think about a dream, but think how a dream can be concreted in this world, how we can actually create it. So it's no longer something that is up there. It is something that can be your reality.
A different stage.
And is your reality.
A different stage of that path that we. Something dynamic about it, isn't it?
I think so.
Yes, and we thought about different meanings of utopias and different experiences with utopias. So a lot of people probably have had experiences with frustration and barriers to get to the alternative tomorrow. They had a clear concept, a clear idea what they were following, but then they were others who didn't understand their dream or their perspective, others that were going into another direction because they were following another utopia or another alternative tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we know that in the education system, transformation is a very, very complex thing. To transform a whole institution, a whole system, means that you have to involve all the different actors into the process. Mm-hmm. So if one of them doesn't feel participating in the process, what does it make with that person? And probably it raises insurances or it raises risks and problems to these people. So we always need to think about the utopias. And I use the word in a version that it's not one utopia, it's many utopias. Yeah. So we need to share our utopias, and we also need to talk about our barriers that we are facing in the process with all the others, so that the other actors, all of them understand what are the challenges for each of the individual person, what have been the challenges for your principal of the school as a father and also being a professional? What are the challenges for the school board or for the policy makers and for each individual student or teacher? So we also need to take an account in the process all the irritations and risks that people are taking if we're changing something. You're losing your path. You were investing a lot of things to become to that position where you are now. So to become a professor, for example, at the university, you were doing your PhD, you were doing research, you were doing this and that. And then somebody comes and says, oh, you're going to the wrong direction. So you have to change everything that makes your identity, your personality, your profession, and do something new or change something in your traditional way of doing things. And these are really barriers, and we have to take them into account in the process so that we really can get to a shared dream, to a shared vision that we are all following together.
But Kirsten, aren't you saying that actually in order for us to integrate the dreams, it's possible. So they are not only dreams, but yes, there's going to be a lot of barriers. There is complexity around it. There is a lot that's going to be on your, you know, standing, perhaps, you know, going against the tide and, mm-hmm. and but still it's possible, right?
Yes.
So what we're trying to do is to integrate that dream at different sort of, at different times in their sort of educational career, but also knowing that complexity sometimes creates the barriers, but perhaps sometimes it also creates the solutions or opens up the solutions, like exactly like in Mariam's example, because on surface, when I'm just thinking about your example of on surface, what you're saying is that, you know, the school you work for is a co-educational school that doesn't have an approval by ministry. You're sitting here, you're telling us about the school that exists, and it's this like, how come, you know? And it happened, and it's possible. So it's your founder not only made that happen, but also inspired others to do the same and to grow the idea, grow it.
And I think that brings up a really important point when we talk about the fact that there's different perspectives and different perspectives on different things. I think that also highlights that one person's utopia could be somebody else's dystopia. And we need to be able to look at everybody's perspective so that we can find that shared vision, so that you can find that space that you've got a utopia that takes into account all of those different things. And as an educator, you need to be really, really willing to listen, to change, to hear things, to really, really, really hear.
It's to kind of be open.
Yeah.
To possibility.
Yeah.
And
willing to change.
Yeah.
And to use our values also for the process, for the path that we have to go.
Yeah.
So it's empathy towards the people who are not understanding our vision today, but probably tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So it needs that we are using the values and we're going on an inclusive way to come to that future, to that alternative future.
So I suppose what we're saying is there's no real definition of utopia. We can't say, here is the definition, go and create it, there you go, because it changes with every single group, with every different space. There's going to be a new utopia depending on what the people within that community need. So it's everybody's dreams, everybody's beliefs, everybody's shared values that are the important ones.
Yes. And I also think probably the word or the term utopia, it is very much connected to the concept of that we will never arrive at that place or at that point. And I think that's why I prefer the concept of vision or the concept of an alternative tomorrow, because we all can think about an alternative tomorrow. Yes. And we don't have to start with the utopia, but sometimes it helps to have an utopia to understand what would be your next steps and who else would you need for the process to be successful in changing the world.
I'm just thinking utopian ideas that were thought of by educators, I don't know, in last century are now reality.
Mm-hmm.
What Mariam school did once was unthinkable. It was a very truly utopian idea, and everyone would say impossible, yet it exists. So it's something about how the the society, the education systems, and people who are those important, we were referring to the agents of change at some point, that the people are, you know, they you know, what you think, what you dream about really matters, because it, without it, it's not, then there's not going to be progress. There's not going to be that utopia will not be the reality. And yeah. And yet we know that it can be a reality. Mm-hmm. So it's important to have those utopias.
Yeah. How is utopia co-created?
Yes, we thought about that a lot, because we think if it's a collective good that we are trying to reach, like, for example, a fully inclusive school or a fully inclusive system. Mm-hmm. So if it's a collective good and we need every actor in the system, every actor in the society to understand our utopia, we need to find ways to build a space where we can co-create the utopia. And this is sometimes quite difficult, because bringing people from all these different institutions and levels in the system together, and not only for one time, for one term, to work with them, to understand that it's a shared process that we have to step into it. And I think that's a bit difficult. And so what we need is, utopia is not about a destination. It is a process. Everyone can start this journey today, and you can find partners and collaborations. You can find others who are sharing your dream and who can give, who can be your strengths in the process. We can learn from everyone in the process. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you would say, let's start to develop an inclusive school. A lot of teachers in Germany, when I talk to them about school development, inclusive school development, they say, yes, but first we have to have these resources, we have to have this financial aid, we have to have these structures. But then I say, no, that's not the way. You can start tomorrow. You can start the process tomorrow by
using...
By using your values in your own classroom, by using your values in your collegium and with the colleagues, and change things so that diversity is addressed and not something that you have to avoid in the classroom, you know? So you can start it every day and always.
Yeah. And when you talk about starting it, we talked a lot about accessing children's voices, accessing students' voices, accessing educators' voices, learners' voices, accessing the voices in the community. And how would we do that? And there are lots of different models, lots of different ways, and every educator will find their own. And we talk about a few in the chapter. We talk about Laura Lundy's, we talk about Clark and Moss, but people will find their own as they go along and find ones that will suit them. And I think what's really important is how you get the voices. And then when you do access the voices and you know that it's the real meaning of the voices, you know, it's the real piece that you've really gotten to the crux of what the learners really, really want. It's only then that you say, okay, now what am I going to do with this information? This information needs to influence change. This information needs to be part of our utopia that we're creating. So everybody's voice. But then we talked about what happens if somebody's voice or somebody's value doesn't fit in with the shared values. So then we kind of said, well, do we start with voice? Do we start with values? Do we start with maybe agreeing some collective values and some agreed values? And then when we have those agreed values that are going to be the building blocks for our utopia, then do we say, now, what are our voices around creating these in a positive way, in a really positive way to be our utopia? So I think it's a really good way to start and to make sure you have really a collective good, yeah?
You see, I'm thinking about the values, as you said, Georgia, and again, I'm thinking about how we think of values, of our personal values in a sort of professional space. So I think that can be quite complicated.
Yeah.
When you start teaching, mm-hmm. You bring your personal self into that room. You bring those values, those beliefs, those those wants, those you know, those ideals with you. You have them. You know, it's naturally part of you. But then you obviously you are no longer just Georgia or just Kirsten or just Miriam or just Aga in that room. You are, you know, you are a professor, lecturer. You are, you know, you are someone who is in the, you know, you are the teacher.
Multiple identities exactly, of yourself, exactly. You know, and, that you have.
But then I think it's very important that we find a way that, these professional, these personal values, which are very dear to us, that there is a way that we can integrate them with the professional values that are expected of us in the teaching space. Because we operate in many different contexts. Mm-hmm. We work in very different countries. Mm-hmm. Each of our countries will have different systems, policies, and expectations of the teaching profession. There obviously, there's going to be strong alignments in there. There will be similarities, of course. But there will be different expectations in terms of what you're going to do in that classroom as a teacher or whatever. It doesn't have to be classroom. In fact, I think there shouldn't be a classroom.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know.
A community.
Exactly.
A space.
In that space. Yeah. Yeah, space is a good word. But it is something about integrating who you are with and maybe developing that identity as an educator. In a way that is, you know, and I'm using inspired by Miriam, I'm using the term congruent, Carl Rogers' humanistic sort of a take on things, that congruence is important because that makes us happier, but it also makes us there will be this integrity to how we are with our students, with ourselves, with each other. So I'm thinking about this concept of ideal self, perceived self, and an actual self, Rogerian role, you know, where those identities find a way that those identities kind of click together.
Yeah.
That you know the saying that you're not just talking the talk, but you're walking the walk. So it's the same sort of premise there.
And you know, it's really interesting that you say that because in order for that to happen, people have to have a certain amount of autonomy, a certain amount of agency within their workplace, within their learning environment, be it if you are a learner, be it if you're an educator, if you are part of that, every person needs to have their agency, to have their autonomy, to be able to enable this creation and this co-creation of the utopias that are going to exist.
I would like to express two things. The first thing is what Aga said, you have to have role models.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we as teachers should always also be role models to the students wherever we are teaching. And the other thing is that all these values are deeply connected to each other. So if you're talking about freedom in your school and if you're principal was talking about freedom, it also meant that you as a teacher would have freedom in your own teaching if you have autonomy. So freedom is linked to autonomy.
Yeah.
And autonomy, again, or inclusive education is linked to empathy. How
Absolutely.
Can you meet the needs of every individual child if you're not empathic? So we see that there is a huge connection between all these different values. And I think it's probably a little bit too complex to start with all of them, but our idea in the communication the last days was that we, as a group, would find values that we would address first, and that we start with some values and that we develop more values and probably share our concepts about all these different values, because it's also the same. We don't have the same meaning of freedom or not the same meaning of inclusion. So we need to address that too.
I think all of us, though, however, would agree that freedom is a universal value when it comes to human beings. And that's how we arrive at love as well. But,
yes.
You know, there are elements that are universal to all of us, regardless of our contexts. And we will have a shared understanding. Maybe not shared understandings, but we will understand that this is a positive, that something is very, very positive and important in our lives. Maybe we will interpret it differently because we obviously use our perspectives and you know, experiences and everything else. But we would know that there is ultimate good to those, right?
Yeah.
And there's always a different cultural meaning of every value. So, and probably some values are more recognized or more followed in some cultures than in others. And so we also have to, and also
more desired
between individual cultures and personal.
And I think that's one of the main reasons why you have to go back to that funds of knowledge. Funds of knowledge, yes, of the absolutely learners, funds of knowledge of the educator. Everybody comes to the space with something. Everybody comes with their knowledge, their culture, their concept, whatever has interwoven them to be the person that they are today. Again, those multiple identities, the culture, everything that they have experienced in their life creates the now self. And it's almost as if you can imagine a person being made up of lots and lots of little jigsaw pieces. Mm-hmm. If we only see half of those jigsaw pieces, we only see half of the person. Mm-hmm. We need to see the whole of the person to be able to really meaningfully ensure that their needs, their wants, their voices are part of the co-creation of the utopia. Because if we don't have that, we don't have a full utopia, because it's just tokenistic. We're only doing it to tick a box to say, I think I've tried to do that. Whereas we really want to achieve this.
Yes, and we concluded at the end of our discourse over the last days that it's the question, how do we create education through these values? Mm-hmm. So what does it mean for the educational situation? What does it mean for us as an educator of our role? So we have to connect it back to the concept of education.
That's it. And putting learning first. Mm-hmm. Learning first, then teaching. Changing the teaching to suit the learning. The learning has to happen first. So if this happens, then your environment becomes way more inclusive because you see the whole child. You know who the whole child is. You know who the whole student is. And you can really create it within the educational system.
Every teacher needs to be a learner first.
Yeah.
They need to learn. They need to learn who is in this room with them, what matters to every single person in there. And I know that, you know, yes, we're discussing utopias. It is impossible to think about, I don't know, a class of 30 children and you know each and every one of them. You probably will take several weeks before you learn their names properly, let alone actually knowing a bit more about them. But it's not impossible.
Yeah.
It's not impossible to understand that, Tommy's crazy about dinosaurs and I don't know, Molly is mad about, you know, flying insects or something like that. And I'm just saying that, you know, even, you know, having the little idea about each and every person you work with opens up enormous opportunities, learning about your learners,
100%,
learning from them.
Yeah,
will make you a better teacher. That will make your teaching easier and
it's all about their identity and belonging. It's all about seeing their identity and
validating
belonging.
Validating them, seeing
their identity, exactly. Invisible within the space.
And reflected in curriculum and everything
back
that's happening.
Yeah. And I mean, we did start with that, the teacher and the children together, looking in the mirror.
Are you talking about the poster?
Yes, how we created the poster. And looking in the mirror and thinking, okay, what do I want to see back? What is my reflection? And every day I go into class and I learn something new every day. Every day I'm in any community group, I learn something new. I learned a lot of new things with you beautiful ladies. But you learn a lot. In every group, you learn something new and something different. If you are willing to open up and be ready to learn, you have to be ready.
Yes. And you can see, all of you can see, that they are so enthusiastic about their own vision of school, about their own vision of being a teacher. And this enthusiasm, it takes over, you know, if you're in a group with others who are sharing their dreams.
So I think what we're really saying is the basis of all of this is relationships. It's relationships between all of the people in the community, whatever space it is, We don't want to say classroom, we want to say space. So whatever space it is, it's all about relationships, those trusting relationships. Nobody is going to open up to anybody else if they don't feel first there is a relationship, there is a connection, and the relationship is the building block. So there has to be trust, there has to be love, there has to be care, there has to be that piece of, I see you, I hear you. You are really there for me. You know, I really, really want you to be part of this. It's important for me that you are part of this. And I think that is the basis of the relationships. And without anything that we have spoken about, if we don't have that, you won't be able to co-create anything.
And you just brought me back to what I wanted to say before. So thank you.
That's okay.
And I think that everyone agrees that whoever work with kids, they see you right through you.
Yeah.
They just see you right through you. And it's like they see you and they feel whether you are genuine in your approach or not. And then there's something for me about being authentic, and that authenticity will only take place if you've got that congruence that you really truly believe in what you're doing. It matters that it comes from the right place, but it also goes into the right place. Focus is in the right place. So your focus is on who is your learner, seeing the learner, working with the learner, bringing them in, allowing them to, you know, giving that, creating a space for that agency, providing that freedom of thought, of a play, work, whatever you call it, but it's as theirs as it is yours. Very much Paulo Freire has lens in there, so that the influence.
Yeah, and I think to finish up with that, really what we would be saying to anybody who is interested in co-creating utopia: go to those relationships, create those relationships, give them the time and space that they deserve to be able to create them, so that you then really meaningfully get that participation. Without that meaningful participation, you're not going to be able to co-create anything that is really meaningful to anybody in the group. So if it is to be true, a really true utopia for that group, everybody needs to see themselves in it, and they need to believe that they were part of it. You have to bring everybody on the journey, not just one or two people.
Mm-hmm. Links very nicely to that, our big mirror in the poster where we have that mirror, but that mirror included everyone in there, and there is a reflection part. Yeah. It's not only reflection for the activity for the teacher and everyone in the classroom, because, you know, that's how that learning happens. But also the reflection of that you see yourself, you see others for who they are.
The only thing I think that we didn't mention was that it's an ever-changing dynamic.
Correct.
Utopia. It's not a place where we once will be. It's an ever-changing dynamic, and so we have to take the dynamic between and the relationships into account, and we have to find ways of deepening the interactions in systems with others, so that we have enough time, we have the space, the time, the empathy for the others, all these things, so that we can start the journey together.
And I think that's really important, because it is dynamic. It is completely evolving all the time. So it's not a space you need to get to eventually. It is a space that you're always going to be co-creating over and over and over again. Yeah.
I'm thinking about when we talk about empathy, we talk about empathy and we talk about compassion as well in there. I think it was Brené Brown that said that compassion is a tool for empathy. And just thinking about it this way, it helps me to frame with that you know, compassion is also an integral part to what we do, and that also helps, I think, when we move away from the ideal, when we need to work with conflict, when we need to work with anger, when we need to work with all of those emotions and difficulties in those spaces, because they're part of learning. They're part of who we are as people. And you know, on one hand, we've got this utopian idea that it needs to be the ideal. But on the other hand, all of those problematic, maybe not problematic, they natural, they part of nature. Maybe I shouldn't be naming or branding it problematic. All of those elements are important parts of who we are, and they are necessary for us to work with these, work with them, to learn, to learn about each other and learn about ourselves and that.
Absolutely.
Why would you want utopia?
So, you know, that's such a broad question, but what we would love to say to anybody and what we have really felt is that when you start off as a teacher, you have all of these big dreams, and then you have an idea of how you want your class to be, how you want your space to be, how you want your learners to be, and then the layers of bureaucracy and the layers of the frameworks you have to work with, these tight schedules, they all come down one after the other. And you have to try to break through, find a way of working with these to still, you know, achieve what you want to achieve. But we say, don't just look at that big picture. Take it back a step, reflect, stop, pause, reflect, and say, I can be an active agent of change right here in the space I'm in. So if you are the school administrator, if you are a policymaker, if you are a teacher, if you are teaching in a baby room, a wobbler room, a primary school, secondary school, in university, whatever space you're in, you can be an active agent of change. And you can encourage all of your students, your children, your participants to be active agents of change within that space. And then you're going to automatically create this common shared goal, and everybody is given this autonomy, this agency to be able to create and co-create continuously, because everybody's needs and wants change. The diversity of this needs to be acknowledged and accepted, and it allows everybody to realize, I just need to take this small step.
So, Georgia, are you saying that why we need utopia? Is it because we need a dream?
I think,
or is it because we need that?
We need to create our reality. We need our dream to be our reality. So,
but we need the dream to.
You
to
need to
help
have
to
the
create
dream,
that.
Yeah. But you need to drag it down here through all of these different layers and make it your reality and say, no, it's not something fictional. It's not something out there. It's not something I can never achieve. It matters. It's real. And it's really, really important. It is the same as you have to meet people where they are. If the child is hungry, the child can't learn. If the child is cold, the child can't learn. If the child is tired, the child needs to sleep. The child can't learn. It's the same with adults. If we are cold, hot, tired, we can't do what we want to do. We can't learn anything. And I think we need to be ready to take our dream, grasp it, make it a concrete reality by saying, I can't change the world, but I can change this space right here, right now.
But I also think we need inspirations. And as you said, you got inspired by Pestalozzi, by literature, by philosophers. Others get inspirations by seeing inspiring practice. Others get inspirated by models or concepts in the school. So I think we need inspirations, because sometimes we are on a path and we don't look to the sides of the path. Yeah. And so we have to, as a teacher in school or at the university, we have to open new minds. We have to open new ways, new paths. And so we have to give them inspirations.
You know, I just now I really enjoyed about your conversation, that because you all three just noticed and mentioned the important things that it's very important and interested me to listen to you. But now I want you to tell you an example that we did at school, that's in the path of creating Utopia. So we just make a group, just sit and talk to each other to make an idea together so that can walk on the path of the utopia with the children or with the other colleagues or maybe with the other facilitators or maybe teachers or families, you know, to design a workshop or, some events to participation of teachers and students and families. For example, designing events and maybe some workshops that's based on the character of Peter Pan in Wonderland. That we participated in our school, in the yard of the school, and make a Wonderland, make a Neverland for the students, and also ask the students and the teenagers, the students to, be a Peter Pan and the Tinkerbell in these events, you know. We also, as teachers and facilitator, ask about the Peter Pan. Lots of preparation sessions, you know, to make a big event or workshop for them. Concepts such as trust or maybe eternal child or maybe whatever, responsibilities or maybe care, maybe some other things that we try to work with them, you know, because if we trust them, if we help them to work with each other or maybe whatever, children had the opportunity to maybe enter to the the big community or the big society. And now, honestly, I by myself think that I'm in the path in the utopias, because as we said before, that utopia is the path, not the sole destination. Mm-hmm. I think that
the journey is more important than the destination.
Yes, I by myself, I think that I'm in the utopia's path, and I really enjoyed. And I think that we have to help them to make a wish, to help them to follow their dreams. You know, that was very interesting, I think. Yes. And with it,
I think that is such a fabulous example of, you looked at their emergent interests, you looked at their dreams, and you took it and you made it a reality. You created that space right there for them that they could see,
right,
that
now
they could play
and here,
in.
That I think that I'm this in really in a wonderland with the smart and very brilliant persons and very smart. And I really enjoyed. And I think that I make it here for myself as a utopia.
I would like to share an example from the university. You know?
Okay.
In special education, we're very often talking about the others. You know, we're talking about our subject, our object of our work. And we have changed in the University of Education in Ludwigsburg because we try to bring these people that we are talking about into the discourse, into the learning process. So we have introduced a module where we have theory and also self-advocates who are talking about their personal experiences. And it has changed our attitude, because if you're not only talking about the ones that you want to transform or change the world for, if you see that it is it's a valuable space that we have to think together about alternative tomorrow. I think this is something as a model, as a university, we should also be a model for a whole university approach, a whole school approach, a whole society approach. It's not something that takes place in little spaces or fields abroad. It's something that has to be in the heart of the society.
Yeah. That's the culture of the school, isn't it? It has to be part of it.
Yeah. Something also about the wholeness there, that, you know, usually the inclusive education is tucked away somewhere on a side. You know, if you think about those frameworks, it's like, oh, it's a special education. It's not the whole education, it's a special education. You see what I mean? So it's what you're saying, Kirsten, is that you're bringing that back to the whole, you know. And this is I'm going to kind of take from Marin's Peter Pan story, because I love the idea of magic. I love the idea of play. I love the idea of that bring the sparkle in all of this, you know, and maybe do something that is different.
Yeah.
Maybe as we said before, disrupt.
Yeah.
The status quo, and be brave enough to see how you can do it.
Sometimes you have to break those glass ceilings, don't you, to create
what
the utopia you want.
Precisely,
yeah?
Precisely. Mm. And I'm just thinking that, you know, as Kirsten, you said about bringing real advocates into teaching, you inviting community into the school, but you also bringing that integrity, that credibility to the teaching, because you create an experience in which your students are listening to real voices and learning directly from those real voices, where you're making them hear and see and take from it. And I think it's the experience that we are, I think, quite often missing. I think it's particular for higher education, where in higher education we forget how to play.
Yeah.
Play is for kids, not for adults.
No. And it's important. It's for everybody.
Yeah. We forget how to talk about love and passion and inspiration. These are like a bit of a taboo words. And I feel like we need that utopia right in there, that for that very reason, to be excited about, you know, being there, being part of someone's experience.
And I think then to finish, we wanted to really look at some reflective questions, didn't we, that would maybe everybody could think about. Yes. So like, what is your utopia? You know, you need to think about, what is your utopia? What do you want your utopia to be? How would you like to create a utopia within the groups that you're in? Yeah.
Why would you think it would be important to have an utopia? I think it's not only that we are talking about utopia. We want to give you inspiring ideas how you can deal with your own utopias.
And yes, we need resources. Yes, we need acceptance of the ideas. And yes, we need support. But we can also get closer to those shared values, those agreed values. And you can be active agents to create those alternative tomorrows.
I'd say dream big.
Dream big.
And even though you start your journey as a teacher, you know that you need to learn a lot of different important things. You need to learn the context in which you operate. Knowledge is power there, because you can use your knowledge and understanding of those frameworks precisely for this reason. You can then find the ways to disrupt them. Or find those gaps, those, you know, where you can sneak your dream somewhere and follow it. We talked about the gang, didn't we? You know, find
create
your gang.
Your own tribe. Yes. To find those people who will do this with you. Yes.
So the question would be, who is in your gang? How do you identify them? You know, start this conversation, that dialogue with people where you can find your tribe.
Yeah.
And always share your visions with everyone around you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of All Means All. In the show notes, there's a link to the chapter in the open textbook. There you can find the transcript of the video and more information on the topic.